Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. So, yes, I'm not preaching on Nehemiah tonight. Felt as though 15 minutes might give me a good introduction to Nehemiah, but not get into what I wanted to do. So this is the first time we've deviated on Sunday night. I appreciate, again, your being here tonight. Appreciate you coming to see the investment. I had a couple of people come this morning and say, well, you know, we're not going to be able to be, blah, blah, blah. In my mind, I'm going, why wouldn't you want to be here tonight? I tell you, I enjoyed Nathan's sermon as much as I've enjoyed any sermon in a long time, Nathan. Honestly, I don't mean that flippantly. I enjoy seeing Nathan get up here and preach. I enjoy seeing Miss Lauren get up here and speak, and Addie get up here and speak. What a blessing. And that's all you Sunday school teachers and children's church workers and mom and dads, you know, to see the fruit. And that's just amazing. And remembering that as you give in the offering, that you're giving towards this ministry, towards the ministry of Master Clubs. And by the way, you had a big part in financing yesterday's event. And so, and what a blessing it is for our church to be able to do a blessing to our own kids, but as well as to many other churches. And we never want to be in a position where we only think about ourselves, right? That, as individuals, but also as a church. And so I'm thankful. Man, the Master Club was just, it was awesome yesterday. Very simple message tonight, just talk about victory. As I thought about Denny Midori and many other things going on in my life and in the lives of our church, and think about those who are sick and health and all the things going on, I just want to remind you that there is victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we are more than conquerors. Look at the verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And I'm so thankful that Christ died for us. Verse 34, and I'm so glad that nothing can separate us from His love. Verse 35, and I'm so thankful that He loves me to the tops of the sky, to the heavens, to the bottom of the depths of the sea. God loves me. I'm thankful that He loved me so much He gave His Son for me. And that through Him, through the Lord, we can have life and have it more abundantly. I want to quote that verse, but I want to read that. John 10:10, Jesus Christ says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And in the context of that verse, he's speaking about being the shepherd. Remember, if you go back and you read it, he's speaking about being the shepherd. The next verse is the verse that I read last Wednesday night, that the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ who is our shepherd. And I'm looking forward to Sunday. Brother Stewart is going to preach on this aspect of the shepherd and all that the shepherd does for us. And the shepherd came to this earth to give his life for the sheep, and to give us life for the sheep, but also to give us life more abundant. So it's not just about the life to come. And I'm thankful for heaven, and I'm thankful that for the prospects of heaven, and knowing that it's just a matter of time. That's what hope means. Hope means just a matter of time that Christ is going to return and we can spend time in heaven. But I'm so thankful that the Lord has given us life here now, and that we can have that life more abundant. Life was not meant to be endured, it was meant to be enjoyed. And if you're a Christian, you ought to be enjoying life. Now, I don't mean some smirky, smiley, you know, everyday whistling, but I'm just saying that as you put the days together, as you put day after day together, that you ought to be enjoying life as a Christian. And they ought to have an abundant life. We should live lives that are victorious. And I'm going to sound a little bit like a motivational speaker tonight, and that's fine. And I'm not quite Joel Osteen-esque, but the Bible makes this very clear. And I make fun of some of those, you know, Joel Osteen and others. But victory is a part of the Christian life, and it should be a major part of the Christian life that we have victory every day in our lives. Why do we not have victory? Number one, because we're not resting in the finished work of Christ. Those who do not experience victory in their lives are not resting in the finished work of Jesus. And by that I mean the death, burial, and resurrection as their only means of salvation. Can I remind you tonight that you can't work your way to heaven? That it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saves us. We are not saved by our works. We are saved by grace through faith. And that's it. And we rest in the finished work of Jesus. We rest in His work that He did on the cross. And here it is. Acceptance with God is not based upon what we do. Acceptance with God is based upon what His Son did for us by coming to this earth, living a perfect life, dying on the cross for our sins, being buried and rising again from the dead. My acceptance with God is not based upon what I do. My acceptance with God is not based upon my performance. And I'm going to actually come to this point in a moment about reading our Bible and praying, but can I just tell you that if you don't read your Bible one day, you know, say you get up in the morning and time slips away and maybe you have a meeting early and you can't have your devotional like you should or like you daily do, and you go to work without reading your Bible, God is not going to strike you down with lightning. God is going to love you tomorrow if you miss your Bible reading as much as He loves you today when you had your Bible reading. All right? I don't think that was said enough growing up when I was in church. I think sometimes the preacher came across and the scripture came across like, if you don't do this, I'm going to put you under my thumb and squeeze you down. God is not Zeus. He's not up there. He's not up there just looking for you to fail so He can strike you down. No, God is on your side. In fact, He's majorly on your side. And He is in your corner. He is rooting for you. And He loves you no matter what. He loves you no matter what. I'm thankful today that God accepts me unconditionally, that He loves me unconditionally through His Son, Jesus Christ, when I place my faith and trust in Him. Again, victory, we don't have victory because we're not resting in the finished work of Christ. And here's the verse, Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Why would I bring up peace? Because it is truly peace and contentment that give us victory. When you're at peace, you're having victory. Because you can have peace in the storm. You can have peace in the valley. You can have peace in the trial. You can have peace in the difficulty. Remembering that it's God who gives us, it's Christ that gives us peace. And it's Christ who gives us that contentment. That you don't have to have the bigger house. You don't have to have the newest car to bring joy in your life. That we can be content in the finished work of Jesus Christ, knowing one day that heaven is our home, knowing that now that Christ will give us a life more abundantly. We don't have to chase all those things. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't work and we shouldn't strive to do well in our jobs and earn money, and maybe some of those things will come your way. But certainly it's not life's purpose to have stuff. Life's purpose is to glorify God and fellowship with Him. So, victory is found in resting in the finished work of Christ. Victory is found in surrendering to God's will. I know these are simple, but surrender to God's will. Romans chapter 6, we're not going to go over there and read it, but Romans chapter 6, verse 13 and 19, speak about us yielding ourselves as instruments to God. We can either yield ourselves as instruments of unrighteousness, or we can yield ourselves as instruments of righteousness. So here's the point. If you're going to have victory in your life, we must yield ourselves as instruments to God. As instruments to God. Think about it for a moment. Carmen got on the piano a while ago. She played the piano. The instrument was at her mercy, if you would. She was playing the piano. The piano was doing what she told it to do. Right? With her hands. The piano didn't all of a sudden stop not play as she tried to play it. Or the piano didn't, you know, start playing something else. Thankfully. Maybe it's one of those computer things, you know? No. And it's the same thing with us. We yield ourselves as instruments of God. We put ourselves in God's hands to be used of Him. If you want victory in life, again, the simple message is that you must yield yourselves as instruments of God. That we wake up in the morning and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Help me, Lord, to live in the Spirit, not the flesh today. Lord, I'm yielded to you today. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? And live according to how He instructs us. So yield yourselves. If you want victory in the Christian life, victory in life, yield yourselves as instruments in the hand of our Savior. By the way, He can do a lot more with your life than you can. He can do a lot more with your life than you can if you'll just simply yield to Him. Teenagers, kids here tonight, just yield to Him. Let Him use you. You want victory? You want that peace and contentment and joy? Yield to Him. Again, Jesus is the example. Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. And we are to lean on His example. I think about that as our kids were growing up. Micah, Caleb, Joshua. I think about, again, the will of a child as an example. Y'all ready? You know what? I'll use myself as an example. So, I was a strong-willed child. There's no doubt about it. No debating it. My dad, my mother, I put them in lots and lots of pain and agony. I absolutely wanted my way. And so my dad had to instruct me and to use certain devices and to help my will become his will. Right? My dad had to be so patient with me. I'm thankful looking back on it. My dad was so patient with me. Only on a couple occasions do I ever remember my dad losing his temper with me. And believe me, he should have lost his temper with me a lot. A lot. Our family, and they would back this up if they were there, if they were here. My family said I got a spanking every day until I was 12. And that's almost reality. I mean, I was that strong-willed. And again, my mom and dad were so patient with me. Applying the Board of Education, the seat of understanding, doing it so in a loving fashion, being 95% consistent about it, being patient with me, kind with me, not losing their temper. And I gave the testimony before that when my dad did lose his temper with me, he always apologized. Again, I think just two or three different occasions, but I can remember him coming back and apologizing to me. As a kid, apologizing to me as a 10-year-old, my dad, saying I shouldn't have lost my temper. That's pretty awesome. That's why I think my dad's a bit... Anyway, my dad's Superman. If you take off his outer shirt, on the inside is a Superman outfit. I'm telling you, it's there. But he's so patient with me. My dad was so patient in breaking my will. Listen now. In breaking my will. Now, young parents here tonight, parents with young kids, it's so important in the development of your child to break the will of that child. You say, that sounds terrible. No, it's absolutely correct. Your job is to make that child do what you say. Honor and obey. That's what the Bible says. And by the way, it's best to do this before they're 6 years old. 90% of their personality and all of that stuff is done before 6 years old. You want to effectively train your child, do so before they get 6 years old. And you'll have to use the Board of Education very little after they're 6 or 7 years old. We experienced that with our children. I'm thankful again. I know I'm repeating myself. Thankful again, my dad was so patient. And there was a point where my will did break. My spirit didn't, because my dad did the discipline in the right way. If you do it the right way, you have a relationship with your child, and not just, you know, I'm the king around here, you're going to do what I say, but you have a relationship with them, you won't break their spirit. But you break the will. Our Heavenly Father is so patient with us. Think about it. In your life and in my life, how patient God is with me. So many times when I get out of line, and when I'm not lining up as I should, and when I'm not yielding myself as an instrument in His hands, He's so patient in bringing me back around. May we experience victory. And by experiencing victory, we must surrender to His will and what He would have us to do. Number three, and this goes back to, if you're going to have victory in life, you're going to have to read your Bible and pray. And I told our starting point class, the new members, I said, about every fourth or fifth message, you're going to get this. Every fourth or fifth message from this pulpit, you're going to hear, read your Bible and pray every day. And because it is one of those areas in which we as Christians allow ourselves to drift in. And we have to continually bring ourselves back and re-anchor. And I hope that you, in your daily Bible reading this year, have stuck with it. If not, start tomorrow. Start again. Get back to reading your Bible. As I said this morning to the starting point class, you don't have to read 6 chapters a day. You don't have to read 3 chapters a day. But read something of the Bible in the morning. And what a difference it'll make in your day. What a difference it'll make in your day. You can live life in victory that day. as you think and as you pray and as you have that relationship with the Lord. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." And so again, one of the reasons why we don't have victory in our life is because of sin in our life. In order to get the sin out and to, again, to flee from that is to read our Bible and have that personal daily walk with Jesus Christ. Again, the sword of the Spirit, part of our armor as a Christian, every morning we get up, is to take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and to take that along to work with us and to take that along to school with us. Jesus Christ desires a personal relationship, a daily walk with the Lord, praying and spending time with Him. We ought to pray without ceasing. Any relationship requires communication and time. With your spouse, it takes communication and time. Communication and time. Number four, if we were to have victory, we must be laboring for the Lord. Matthew 10, about submitting to His work and to His commands. If you're to have victory in life, you must be laboring for the Lord. Why is that? Well, because you're His child. And He's told you to do something. And when you don't do what He says, you experience the chastisement. The loving chastisement, but we do experience chastisement. And so, I don't want the Heavenly Father to be disappointed in me. So, I want to do what He says. And so, therefore, we ought to be about the Father's business. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this point, but man, we ought to be passing a track out. Leaving a track at the restaurant. I've tried very hard this year to keep a track in my pocket. I had a track in my pocket yesterday, making sure that wherever I went, I had a track that I could leave. And I want to obey the Father's command and spread the gospel and be consistent at it. And so should we all. If you want to have victory in life, then be about the Father's business. Number five and lastly, and this is the toughest one of all, if you're to experience victory, you must be filled with the Spirit. That's, again, about yielding to the Spirit. It's not about getting more of the Spirit. It's about the Spirit getting more of you. Yielding your life to Him. And again, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." Do you realize that's a command? That's a command. Right? That's what it says. Be ye. It doesn't say, well, maybe you ought to be. No, it says, be ye filled with the Spirit. And we all, as Christians, ought to strive to be filled with the Spirit of God. It's a privilege to have the Holy Spirit living in us. A privilege. What a privilege it is that the Holy Spirit is there. And many times we do not rely upon Him as we should. And we have so much self-confidence and in ourselves. We're so independent. But the Holy Spirit is there, living and abiding in you to enable you, to empower you to live the Christian life, to live victorious in life. The Holy Spirit is there to strengthen you during the day. It's the Holy Spirit that enables and strengthens you to get up and read your Bible and pray. It's the Holy Spirit that is there called alongside to comfort you in the time of distress, in the times of storms. It's the Holy Spirit who's there for you. Be you filled with the Spirit of God. I believe it's something you ask for. I think it's something you go to the Lord and you say every morning, "Lord, help me again to live in the Spirit and not the flesh today." I've practiced that for a long time now. Two prayers I pray in the morning as a part of my prayer is, "Lord, help me to live in the Spirit, not the flesh today." And, "Lord, help me to live in light of eternity." And I told you, Brother Stone was preaching a message one day, and that got me convicted about that. And he says he prays that prayer every morning. I said, that's a good one right there. I should live every minute of my life in light that Jesus could return today. And I tell you what, if you will yield to the Spirit of God, live in the Spirit, and you will live in light of eternity, in light of the Lord's return at any moment, you will experience victory in life. You will experience victory. I'm telling you, I pray for Angela Midori. I pray for that family. And I think about if a person is truly doing what this says, if a person is truly resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ, again, thinking about His love and the peace and contentment that comes from that. Again, it's not about my performance, that God loves me unconditionally. And a person is surrendered to the will of God and reading the Bible and praying daily and having a daily walk with the Lord and laboring for Him and trying their very best to win others to Jesus and to influence others. And they are living in the Spirit. Self-murder won't be a problem. That's what suicide is. It's self-murder. Let me clarify, too. Someone who commits suicide does not mean they don't go to heaven when they die. That's a Catholic doctrine. It's not a Bible doctrine. But you can have victory every day. You don't have to live in depression. Amen. You don't have to live with worry. You can live in victory every day. Just simply rest in Jesus and what He did for you. Remind yourself every once in a while, man, God's been good to me. Given me eternal life. Given me a family. Count your blessings. Amen. Praying and reading our Bibles daily. Being filled with the Spirit of God. Just having victory in life. Jesus said He came to give us life and to give it more abundant. I hope that you're living that abundant life tonight. And again, I'm not talking about the smirky, smiley every day. Every day is not smirky, smiley. Though for me in the morning it is, my kids would say. I get up in the morning, I'm in a good mood. It's the rest of the day I have to deal with, right? But we can live every day in victory. Let's all stand. Careful who your friends are, Brother Nathan, right? Choose your friends wisely. Amy Carmichael, if you haven't read that biography, that's a great biography. You ought to read it. And Hudson Taylor, if you've never read anything about Hudson Taylor, man, what a missionary. What a great, great missionary. And I have several books in my library about the hymns and the hymn writers. And they'll be a blessing to you, too. You ought to just take one of those books and read through it and read about the hymns. It's amazing how God inspired these hymns. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for the time we've had tonight. And I pray this morning or this evening, Lord, if there's someone here who's not living that abundant life. Maybe there's someone tonight living in depression or worry or, Lord, or fear. I pray, God, that You would just strengthen them in their inner man, that the Holy Spirit would give them courage and peace and contentment that they need. And Lord, let us be careful who our friends are. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.